You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 183 for December 9th, 2015.
Welcome back to the show where we love to talk about running. We are back after the Thanksgiving holiday. So hopefully everybody had a good holiday and
ran some turkey trots or some other races related to turkey.
Yeah, hopefully lots of trotting.
Thanksgiving.
Kind of crazy they were in December. We're basically coming into the end of the year, which the year went by.
Yeah, I know.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Always a shock when you get to December and the year's just gone. What's the plan for today? We're going to talk about, kind of catch up on what's going on with us. We're going to talk a bunch of running news. Seems like there was some interesting stuff going on, at least to me anyways. Mention a race that we registered for. And we're going to talk a little bit about running gifts, or maybe a little bit of a runner wish list might be the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then feedback to close it out. I think I pretty much got that organized. That's the plan. So let's start off with us. What's going on with you?
I am training for the LA Marathon. That's what's going on with me.
That's interesting. I think I should be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. So I guess a couple of weeks have gone by. Let's see. 1 week I did a trail run, which was fun, which isn't necessarily on my training plan, but I'm still wanting to do some trail running, so I'm doing it. So that was fun. And then did, as far as the long run goes, did a 15 and a half mile long run. And that felt okay. No complaints really. It's gotten colder here. And I know, again, disclaimer, we're wimps as far as cold weather goes, but it's definitely gotten colder here in the last, I don't know, 4 weeks, maybe last month, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little different now to when you think about doing a long run. Okay, you know, got to layer up and what are you going to have to take with you versus the usual, which is like, oh, I guess I'm wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt again, you know, so really thinking about that now. But yeah, long run felt pretty good. It was a little cold to start, but it was ended up being pretty perfect running weather that day. So getting closer to LA, I think, what did we say, like 9 weeks away or something like that? 8 weeks away? I'm not even going to try to do the math, but it's one of those two.
I wouldn't either. So, I'm hoping it's 10.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure it's not 10.
Okay.
So we're getting closer. Time to do some more long runs. I'm just trying to get my runs in during the week too. It's a little bit difficult around this time just because I tend to not be so motivated when it's winter and it's dark out and that sort of thing. So
it's really
just
tough.
And it's cold and I'm like, oh, my bed's so comfortable. I don't want to get up. So it's still, you know, just laziness really.
Yeah, I mean, what I was going to say is it's tough when you get out of work and it's just dark.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, where did the day go?
Yep, it's done. The day's done. So, yeah, and then, let's see, this past weekend was at the CIM California International Marathon Expo. I was working the Ragnar Trail booth, so got a lot of people excited about Ragnar Trail Tahoe, which is taking place next July. So, yeah, and that was actually a bit tiring too, you know, time on my feet because I was literally on my feet all day long and my throat was even kind of scratchy just because it was like the nonstop talking about Ragnar, but it's something that I enjoy talking about. So that worked out. And it was nice. I enjoy being at expos anyways. It's just nice to be at one, even if I'm not running the race.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know. I enjoy the environment and the vibe in there. Yeah. Everybody's just excited and, you know, for the upcoming race. So yeah, that's pretty much what's been going on with me. I don't think anything else has been going on. So what's going on with you?
Same thing. No. I guess since...
Ditto.
Yeah, ditto. That'll just sum it up. Since Thanksgiving holiday, I think my running's been the case of a good week, bad week kind of thing. So I think Thanksgiving week was a real good week. Stayed away from the bad foods over the Thanksgiving holiday, which is a good thing. As I say with holidays, they're always nice because if you're fortunate enough to have day or days off, it's extra time to run. So I took advantage of that and got a trail run in and kind of a couple longer runs and that went well. The following week was just a tough week for me. And then like 2 days ago, my knee just started acting up after, you know, kind of 2 weeks of my knee not giving me any issue whatsoever. And all of a sudden started giving me problems again, which is just a bummer and a pain. Feels a little better today. So I'm actually planning on later today going out for a run. And so we'll see how it feels. What else? I was also at California International Marathon Expo. So I actually signed up to volunteer at the expo and I did do that. I got assigned, I guess the first half of the day shift, actually got assigned to packet pickup. So I got to hand out bibs all morning long. And it's actually the first time I've done that at a race. So I actually had a blast kind of doing it. It was just kind of super fun. one, helping out, but two, just talking to all the runners, you know, the volunteers that were there with me, and then people picking up bibs and just kind of chit-chatting with people. And it was just a lot of fun. It was kind of interesting to see where everybody, you know, everybody had to show their photo ID to pick up their bib. So I got to see lots of photo IDs all morning long. It was interesting to see where people were from. So, you know, I saw IDs from, of course, California, duh, local race, but Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, Washington, Florida, Texas, if I didn't say that already, Jersey.
No, I didn't say it yet.
I think that's the list that I'm remembering. And then from far off places, gave out bibs to two gentlemen from Mexico. And then the person that came from the farthest that I handed out was a gentleman from Brazil, which I thought was pretty cool. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun just helping out and chit-chatting with people. And some people had questions, and, you know, everybody was kind of, you know, the weather was kind of in doubt. It was, the question was, you know, it was going to rain a bit, but nobody really knew how much it was going to rain. Turned out to be not that much of an issue, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people are like, oh, is it going to rain? You know, it's kind of funny how many people ask me what the weather was looking like for tomorrow. And in the back of my head, I kept thinking, like, I didn't look at the weather because I'm not running the race. So.
Yeah, exactly. I can check my phone if you want. But
after about half an hour, I said, okay, I better look up the weather on my phone. So at least I'm a little bit more familiar with what the look at, you know, what the forecast looks like, I guess you could say. So I did do that. But yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. They're super organized at CIM in the race in general, but even at the expo and dealing with volunteers, and definitely encourage people to help out with their local race in some form or fashion if you ever get the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually pretty cool at CIM. They actually even cover your parking fee because it's actually basically there in downtown Sacramento, and everything around there is paid garage type parking, so you have to pay to park if you're going to be at the expo for any extended period of time. So it's kind of cool they at least cover that too, so you're not even out of pocket, you know, any money or anything like that. So and then I did get a chance, probably like you did, to at least walk around the expo a little bit and check things out. Mm-hmm. So picked up some flyers for some different races. It kind of being a local race for us here in Northern California, it's kind of, I always say, same, the usual suspects, you know, in terms of races from the area that are out there. So Santa Rosa was out there, Modesto was out there, Ragnar was out there, mm-hmm. Big Sur was out there, which, yep, I never Big understand Sur, because they sell out all their events. So I don't know
there's
why.
Well, they sell out their marathon events, but maybe it's to help events promote some of the other distances, or then their half marathon too, that's in the fall.
Yeah. All right. So that was my week or weeks there. So, should we move on? Let's mention, some races from the last 2 weeks. Of course there was probably a million turkey trots that happened over Thanksgiving holiday, but Seattle Marathon, Quad Dipsy, of course, CIM, North Face San Francisco, R&R San Antonio, Baton Rouge Beach Marathon, Tucson Marathon, and the Western States Lottery, not the race, but
not
the lottery,
race, right,
was this past weekend. And kind of back to the CIM Expo, I was actually, you could actually pick somebody else's bib up. And so there was this one lady who was actually picking up bibs for a bunch of people who were actually running out at North Face on Saturday, which is a San Francisco race. It's in the Marin Headlands, mm-hmm, close by. And then they were going to go do CIM on Sunday, which to me is just crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, that was funny. So
that's a whole nother level of insanity.
Right. All right. Let's start with kind of our running news, in that we finally did, as they say, pull the trigger, made the commitment. We are going to see Grandma, as I love to keep saying, because I think I've said that a bunch of times over the last 2 days. We're officially registered for Grandma's Marathon in 2016. Mm-hmm. So we'll be making the trip out to Duluth and running that marathon. So looking forward to that. I think we had mentioned before that we had booked the, you know, a hotel just in case. And, you know, we're just trying to decide on, you know, just, I guess, just making the final decision to commit to, I guess, booking airline tickets,
yeah,
and making the trip out there.
We finally did it.
Yeah. So it kind of fits in perfectly with our schedule for next year. And it was kind of on our bucket list of races, and some mm-hmm. people recommended it. And I think you get a free track jacket if you sign up before December 31st.
I think it's before January 1st. But
okay. Don't quote us on that, though. So if you're interested in the race, look that up for yourself. But register and join us. It seems like it's going to be a good one. Let's circle back around to Ragnar stuff. You mm-hmm. actually have a discount code that you were able to provide to people.
Yes. So another year of a discount code. So if anybody wants to come out and hang out with us in July, and you want to do the race, there's a discount code for us, or not for us, for you guys, to get 5% off the race. And so, The code, we'll have it up on our site, but it's also all capitals, TT16MELENA. So if you haven't registered yet and are planning on it, now is the time.
And that's, we don't get anything by you using that. That Ragnar would just let you give that to our listeners. So if you're going to do Tahoe, that's the code. It will be on the website. I don't know if it'll be there this week, but it'll for sure
be there soon.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
I got to do that. So it's on my list. But yeah, that's kind of cool. 5% off. Just pay attention to when early reg dates are for the cheapest.
Right. Exactly.
Because that, you know, early reg does end at some point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about R&R San Antonio.
R&R San Antonio. That was one of the races that we mentioned just happened recently. So some notable people or names or people, both, I guess, names and people, were there. So Kerry Goucher actually won the half marathon in 71.10. It's weird to see it listed like 71.10. I'm like, what is that? I mean, you know, it's not that difficult. But so in 71.10, and then Shalane Flanagan and Amy Craig, who it took me a minute to realize that was Amy Hastings.
Right.
But yeah, that is the same person. They finished third and fourth in a time of actually 72.42. So I know they're gearing up and getting ready for the Olympic marathon trials. I never know what order I'm supposed to say that in, but in LA in February. So.
Yeah, it seems like there's a ton of focus right now in the running world on the Olympic trials coming up. So
yeah,
and I know the picture of Kerry Goucher kind of winning at the finish line definitely made the go round online after that race. So you probably saw that picture at some point in time.
Yep, in your some sort of feed somewhere.
I already mentioned North Face just a little bit, but I guess we'll kind of mention some of the top names over there.
Yeah, and this is specifically for the 50 mile. Which is the longest distance that they have there for the race. They also have a 50K, I think a marathon, some combination of a relay. I'm not sure for what distance, half marathon. They have a lot of distances, but for the 50 miler, Colorado and Zach Miller and Megan Kimmel actually took home the wins. So two people from Colorado came over to California and took the wins at the North Face 50. The men's top 10, I'm not going to list all of them, but just some notable names besides Zach Miller. Dylan Bowman, second. We've been hearing his name a lot. Ryan Bach, third. Jorge Maravilla, another local person out here, finished fourth. And then Ryan Smith rounded out the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Some notable drops from the men. Max King, who was one of the favorites to podium. And Alex Varner, who had actually just won the quad Dipsy the weekend before and had set a new course record. So wasn't all too surprising.
With the back-to-back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything that you want to say with the men's before I moved on to the women's?
No, I mean, just like you said, that's a lesson. You know, you can't really do back-to-backs and perform extremely
right.
well. You know,
yeah.
you can't perform at an elite level at back-to-backs like that. So.
Yeah. And then for the women, obviously, you know, I mentioned Megan Kimmel took the win. And then Ellie Greenwood, who we haven't heard too much about, you know, in a little while. But she finished second. And then Larissa Danis, third. Ruth Croft, fourth. And Emily Peterson, fifth. Again, some notable drops on the women's side was Magda Boulay, who was also favored to podium. She was a returning winner from last year. Casey Scallon and Caroline Bowler, who took an unfortunate spill and busted some teeth. So that sucks.
Yeah.
On some stairs, in case people are wondering, like, what sort of trail or rock that she fell on. It was on stairs. So
yeah, when you told me that
sucks.
You actually told me that story, and I just kind of the thought of
right
falling in teeth and it just gave me the shivers.
Yep.
And
I was getting excited to like tell you the story. I didn't even get to tell you the whole story.
Oh,
just like, stop right there. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
All right, so that was North Face. Next, I got on here on the list to talk about is a new website, which. It's interesting because I found out about the website because they happened to follow us, I think, on Twitter.
And
so the name was interesting. So I went to the website and I was kind of reading all about it. And I wasn't even going to mention it, but then Runner's World actually covered it online in a story. So it's bibswitch.com, which is basically a new website that is trying to create a system or a community or a way basically to transfer bibs. So, you know, we all have that issue of, you sign up for a race, you get injured or you know,
something comes up.
Yeah, some type of conflict and you can't do a race. And most races, as we know, have, you know, no refund and no deferral and no transfer policies. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the industry standard. And what they're trying to do is create a way for runners and race organizers to basically transfer those bibs to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea. I would love to see more races have some way to transfer to other people or get deferrals or refunds or wait lists. Actually, I had somebody at the expo at CIM ask me if there was a wait list because she wasn't going to run. She was picking up her bib, but she couldn't run that day.
Interesting.
So she wanted to basically have a way to give it to somebody else. So BibSwitch is trying to be this, you know, online platform that facilitates these transfers between athletes and race directors. It's, if you go to the website, there's basically nothing there in terms of actual bibs available,
right,
or races that you can actually transfer your bib over. What they're asking is basically if you're a runner, go there and basically list what race you have a bib that you would like to transfer for, and they will actually contact the race and see if the race is interested in, I guess, taking part in this.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of little caveats, and they want to set like limits on how much, if essentially you're selling a bib, how much that could go for and stuff like that. But not a lot of traction, but if it's something that you're interested in, it's worth taking a look and checking out. I don't know how successful it will be, because I think it's going to be a kind of a tough nut to crack. I know from race director's standpoint, I know a lot of race directors, if they're going to go this route, they'd rather just handle it themselves than kind of outsource it to,
if they're going
to
do it,
right, to a third party. And then the big problem is it kind of changes the economics of races,
mm-hmm,
pretty big, because all races have a significant no-show number, and that's accounted for by race organizers. So, certain races will have a really low number, might be 5%, all the way up to maybe even 25% of people that just don't show up for the race. I've seen 30% thrown about in the past, which seems like an incredibly high number, but I'm sure it happens on select races,
mm-hmm,
certain times, especially when you get bad weather and stuff like that. But all these races that have been around for a while, they pretty much know what their no-show number is, and that has a huge part to play in the cost of the race. So, to break it down to a really small number, you sell 100 spots for a race, but if 80 people show up, they're planning all the logistics of the race around 80 people. So if you're allowing bib transfers, now you're actually going to have 100 people showing up. So the question is, do they have to raise the prices to account for the fact that they're doing that? Is that something that they, are you going to charge a fee in transferring bibs that's going to try to go for making up that? You're not going to be able to make up the entire fee, but an interesting idea, and maybe I'll link to the actual Runner's World article if I can find it again that actually talks about it on their side. So anything else on that one?
Nope. I mean, I think, well, I guess there is something.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think I like the idea.
Yeah.
But I think putting it into reality and actually making it work is not so easy. But I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
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 That was it.
Yeah. I mean, even, I think there's, even a situation where, I can't do this race, I'd love to just transfer it to somebody that I know.
Mm-hmm. Like I have a friend who,
yeah, I can't make it,
can run it.
Yeah, I can't be there Saturday. Hey, Bob, do you want to come take my spot at the race? And that's the kind of thing that happens, and a lot. And usually the friend will just run with the bib, and they're not officially registered. And, technically that's a bandit situation. But I think I've said in the past, I don't have as much of a problem with that as, somebody just being a bandit that literally nobody paid. But yeah, they're that's part of it too, is that I think they say they're trying to eliminate the black market for bibs, which is, essentially giving it to somebody, or the worst thing is probably going on Craigslist and selling it, maybe for big races. Mm-hmm. If you've got a New York Marathon bib, you can definitely sell it at a profit. So I guess the one advantage is you would get rid of that black market for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Interesting thoughts. So we'll see if they pick up any traction. Maybe I'll make a note to check back in 6 months and see if there's anything going on the website and if any races have actually kind of signed up and are allowing it. So, all right, let's move on to different times. Let's talk about running times, which is basically throwing in the towel after 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the current owner of the magazine has announced that it will cease publication with the upcoming January and February issue.
So that's going to be the last issue.
Correct.
January, February.
Yeah. So it's the same owner that owns Runner's World. So what they're planning to do is some of the coverage that Running Times has been providing is basically just going to shift over to Runner's World. And so, I'm not actually even sure how big the staff at Running Times is, and I haven't seen any concrete numbers or evidence on what they're going to do with the staff, whether the staff is shifting over to Runner's World or how that's all going to work. But yeah, basically Running Times gone after 38 years. Supposedly they had a circulation of about 122,000, which I will admit, I know nothing about magazine industries.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea.
I don't know how that fares compared to other, like Runner's World or something else. Right. I just don't know.
Me neither. So I'm just throwing that out there in case you have some idea.
Oh, okay.
So, it's interesting because when I first, I think you actually mentioned the story to me, mm-hmm. And I'm actually a current subscriber of Running Times, but I was actually not going to renew it just because, I don't know, the magazine is really thin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got some good information in there.
Definitely.
But it's kind of real thin. It's the only way I can describe it. So
yeah.
I wasn't going to renew Running Times. I guess I do like Runner's World a little bit more just because it has some more of those quick read type stuff. You know, you can read this small little thing in 2 minutes and not necessarily an in-depth article and stuff like that. So, yeah. Other things and other changes happening around the world of running. ASICS has announced that it is ending its 25-year partnership with the New York Marathon. 2016 will be its last year as its footwear and apparel partner. They cited it as a strategic business decision. I'm putting in my air quotes here. ASICS, as you remember, just recently ended its sponsorship of the LA Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of definitely shifting, I guess, some of their business focus away from these big-time sponsorships. And then one day later, which came no surprise because everybody knew it was coming, the official announcement that New Balance had signed a 10-year deal with New York Roadrunners. They will be the shoe and apparel partner starting in 2017 for the New York Marathon. They will also become the title sponsor of the Bronx 10 Mile and the Fifth Avenue Mile starting in 2016. And then in 2017, their role expands even more kind of year-round, sponsoring the Five Borough Series, Heritage Races, along with some of the other smaller races that New York Roadrunners does. And then they'll be partnering on the opening of the New York Roadrunners Running Center, which is kind of, I guess, think of it as the New York version of the Adidas Run Base in Boston.
Okay.
Which is kind of there at the finish line. So that will be cool once it's open. I definitely don't claim to be an expert on the New York running scene. But yeah, in terms of money, the deal rumored to be around worth $150-170 million.
Oh, so like chump change.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not, you know.
Yeah.
The stuff you find in your sofa. And,
I was just thinking that.
Or on your professional running runs.
Unless you're me and don't find any money on your runs. But yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know as runners, it doesn't really affect us who's kind of these big sponsors, but it's kind of just interesting to see these names that we see associated with these races change.
Yeah, it's interesting to follow, especially something or company like ASICS. Like you said, they are no longer sponsoring LA and now New York. So yeah, it's interesting to see what they're doing or where they're headed.
It's kind of a big shift in, I was going to say, you know, the marquee on a building is one way. The big names in running that we see, you know, ASICS is kind of not up there as much in terms of that regard. And now we're seeing New Balance move up. We're seeing Skechers as the title sponsor at LA,
yeah.
And, you know, Hoka's doing more and more. So it's kind of new names, although New Balance certainly not a new company. But yeah, some changing of the guard there, I guess. All right, let's circle. We keep circling round and round on things. Back to CIM.
Okay. Yeah. So we talked about CIM already, but one of the things we wanted to mention is that, and we were talked about off and on about the Olympic trials in February, but actually 14 women qualified for the Olympic trials at CIM. That's
good
a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of women, including one who was misdirected at the Glass City Marathon in April and ended up running over 27 miles. So some redemption there since she was misdirected on the course. And so therefore did not get a qualifying time there, but did get a qualifying time at CIM. So yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made for a good picture online.
It did. That was pretty cool. Yeah, it definitely did.
All right, anything else on CIM?
No.
In that regard? No?
No, but more on the Olympic trials.
More on the Olympic trials. Yeah. So I guess the big story of this week, I don't know if it's a story, a rumor, I don't know for sure what's going on, but Galen Rupp, who's of course, you know, the 10,000 guy, right? We know him for his 10K. Top American. Also had, what was it, 2 months ago, we were talking about Salazar and allegations and all that
stuff.
But that's kind of out of our minds at this point. Let's move on.
Clearly not.
Clearly not, because it's in mine. But I don't even know why I said it. Bad on my part. But yeah, so the big question now is he actually going to do the Olympic trials? Which he would need to do a qualifier to be able to get into it. But he's actually going to be running a half marathon in Portland on this coming Sunday. I think he just needs to run under a 105 to get the standard that would allow him to run in the Olympic trials, which for him doing a half and 10, I think he's run things run almost basically a one hour flat before. So mm-hmm. a 105 should be definitely doable.
Doable, yeah.
So I guess the race in Oregon is a USATF certified course. It's not actually a sanctioned event. So they would actually have to make that a sanctioned event before
the weekend.
Sunday, which according to USATF wouldn't be an issue. And so I think everybody is just assuming that's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see if he runs this half on Sunday and he definitely gets the standard. And then we'll kind of all sit back and see whether he's actually going to run at the Olympic trials or not. Because this, at least from my point of view, kind of came out of nowhere. Although I think he would be 30 at the time of the Olympics. And there's some question of whether, at least on the global scale, in terms of the 10,000, whether he's basically peaked.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's time for him to kind of move up to the longer distances.
Yeah.
So if he does do this half and he does get the standard and he does go out to the Olympic trials, that will make for an even more interesting race that mm-hmm. day and kind of add to kind of the storyline with the American runners there. So kind of looking forward to that. It was kind of interesting seeing this kind of blow up in the last 2 days with kind of the big names that are going to be at the Olympic trials, at least for the men's side. Kind of the people we'd have to get through would be Meb and Dathan Ritzenhain, who I think they say he's kind of battling hip bursitis at the time, right now. So we'll see how it goes. All right, should we move on to funner stuff?
Sure.
So holidays around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks about shopping and gifts, and that includes runners.
Yep.
That includes ourselves.
Yep.
So we've got a little bit of a list here that's kind of a runner gift list, but maybe more of a, we wanted to take more of a wish list.
Mm-hmm. Like some things that we don't necessarily have, but that we wouldn't mind having.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to have.
Yep.
And so it's a good time to buy yourself something or mm-hmm. a fellow runner something at this time of year.
Yep.
All right. You want to start this off?
Or receive something.
Or receive. Yeah.
Yeah. So number one can be general, just a running related book. There's many of them out there and I'm always into books. So if it's a book about running, that's even better.
That's like a double win for you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But I actually have, there's lots of books out there, but I actually have a particular book on my wish list, which is Running Your First Ultra, Customizable Training Plans for Your First 50K to 100 Mile Race by Chrissy Mohl. Now, I know that sounds a little...
That was a long title.
Yeah. And it sounds more like instructional versus interesting, like if you just read the title, but it is about ultra running and it gives you tips in terms of training. And now I've just like... flipped through this. I haven't
read the book.
Yeah,
actually.
I haven't read the book. Yeah. So, but it does give you tips on ultras. And then the one thing that I do like about it that I haven't found in other books about ultra running is that it does give you customizable training plans for ultras ranging from 50K to 100 mile races. So, as far as getting customizable training plans for like a half marathon or a 10K or a marathon, they're fairly easy to find, I think, just online.
Right.
But everywhere. When I was training for Way Too Cool 50K the first time, I had to do some digging to try to come up with a 50K training plan. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited about taking a look at those training plans in this particular book. So, and in case anybody's wondering who Chrissy Mohl is, she's an accomplished ultra runner. In 2005, she actually became the youngest woman to complete the Grand Slam of ultra running. So that's completing Western States, Vermont 100, Wasatch, and Leadville all in the same year. And that actually included a gold medal at Vermont 100. She's set the women's record for Hard Rock in 2007. She's won several ultra marathons, including UTMB twice, Wasatch, and I wrote UTMB again. Okay. Yeah. So, because twice, right? So yeah. That's my first thing on my running wish list.
So that'll be the next thing that apparently you must read then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
I'll have to
circle back and let you guys know how it is, especially the customizable training plan. So.
All right. Number two.
Number two is similar to number one. It's a running related movie.
Okay.
Okay. So,
I love running movies.
Yeah.
No.
And again, there's lots of movies out there that would be a great gift for a runner or for yourself, if you know, which obviously you're a runner. If you're listening to this, most likely you are. And many we've actually talked about before, like Spirit of the Marathon, Spirit of the Marathon 2, Unbreakable, the Western States one. I know there's a couple of different Unbreakables now. McFarland. But the one on my list specifically is the Barkley Marathons, The Race That Eats Its Young. So that was just released yesterday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So haven't seen it yet.
And a cool title.
Cool title.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a documentary about the Barkley Marathons in Tennessee. To me, that's like enough said right there. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Barkley's before.
Several times, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, before. It's just, it seems like a freaking difficult ultramarathon that has like such a low finisher rate and is difficult to get into. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a lot.
It's its own crazy thing.
Right. And I mean, probably watching this movie is the closest. No, not probably. Watching this movie is the closest I'll ever get to Barclays, and I'm totally okay with that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily want to get any closer than that, so.
I don't even want to go to the start and check it out.
That's actually. That's too intimidating for me. Yeah, I don't even want to be there. That I'm just too scared of just being there.
Yeah, so, I mean, the film is, like you said, available on iTunes now, and I think you can order the DVD or the Blu-ray, and I think get it on some other on-demand services, I think we were actually going to plan on trying to watch it this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe, was the plan, because we definitely want to see it. So. As far as old movies that we've seen, I think Unbreakable is still one of my favorite running movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just throwing that.
I agree. Yep, I agree.
All right, number three?
Number three. So this one's very specific.
Oh, well.
So these are petite running tights or running pants.
Yeah, this was definitely all you on this.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Clearly all me.
I was like, huh?
Yeah. And you probably don't even understand the problem, but petite running tights or pants in terms of like the length that aren't super expensive. Now, I think in general, running pants and tights can be pretty expensive anyways. They're not typically cheap, but it's pretty, well, for me, it's been pretty difficult to find a pair of petite length running tights. I have plenty of capris, and those work well because, you know, it's like they're below your knee and that's pretty much it, right? It doesn't matter like if they're an inch lower than somebody else's or right, whatever. But the tights specifically, usually, you know, they're tapered and tighter at the bottom towards the ankle, you know, to keep you warm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And a lot of them have a zipper on the outer edge so you can, you know, unzip them, take them off, whatever. But if I can't buy regular length pants or tights that have the zipper because then it's the zipper's going to be like at my foot. You know, because it's just, they're too long. I'm a shorter person, so they're too long. And then if they have the zipper, it's not easy to just make modifications or alterations because of the zipper there. At least I'm not well versed enough in that.
To do that.
To do that. Right. So, where if it was like maybe like shorts or capris, you just have to, you know, like hem it and that sort of thing. But not with the pants and the tights that have the zipper. So, I would love to be able to find a pair that actually fit. And it fit in general, but especially like the length and like the zipper goes right to where it's supposed to, like on the ankle. So, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe somebody will have a suggestion for you.
Yeah. And I know I'm sounding way more excited about this than I should be. These are just running pants.
No, it's interesting. But, I mean, it's very specific to you, but yeah. It's something that would kind of make a big difference to you. So it makes sense.
And I was thinking about it more because it's getting colder.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, I'm obviously not going to wear shorts because I'm cold. So guess what I'm wearing? Capris, because I don't have any running pants. Mm-hmm. So if I did, I probably would be wearing them on some of my runs. So,
I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, it's the holiday season and you're mentioning this, like, I know ASICsAmerica.com, their website, and then Running Warehouse, they each do their 12 Days of Christmas
sale. Yeah.
So if you're looking for stuff, those are two places to kind of go. But like today's deal of the day for ASICs is women's workout tights. So. Maybe you should take a look at those.
Maybe they have petite length.
I don't think tights. So. But
see?
But you can take a look later.
See, because the thing is, I'm going to talk about it some more. Because the thing is, like, a lot of those, when I go online and look, they either don't offer the petite length, or they do, but then I'm worried if I order them online and then they're still too long, or they're too short, sometimes that happens too.
Right.
Then I have to go through the trouble of returning them, and depending on where you order them from, they might not be. Yeah, it might not be so easy. And then in person in store, I've never come across petite length running pants. So maybe somebody out there has some ideas. Maybe I need to go to some colder weather areas to find them.
Oh, good point. Maybe
maybe we just don't need them out here.
That's true. Nobody's wearing.
Maybe they're like, you're not supposed to have any out here.
Why aren't you wearing shorts? This is California.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm done with that one.
Number four?
Number four. An annual park pass for somebody who likes to run out on the trails. So I know that this could be very specific to where you live and what the park and trail access is in your area. Maybe you have access to tons of trails without having to pay a fee to go to the park or the trail system, or to park your car or anything like that. Unfortunately, we don't have that access like right outside our door, and we're having to drive somewhere to access trails. And the majority of the places we go for trail running, you either have to pay for a parking fee or some sort of entrance fee to the park. So, you can actually, if somebody is, you know, is a trail runner and has a similar situation where they're having to pay every time that they go, you know, you can maybe buy them either a park pass for the actual parks or a parking pass, or one of the things that we have out here in one of the, in the region that has a lot of parks that we trail run in and hike in too, is that they have a pass that's good for all of those parks within that region. So you can use it at any one of those in terms of entrance, and or parking fee. So I'd recommend doing that.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good idea, because one, I mean, you can save money, but on the flip side, it can actually encourage you to get out more to the trails.
That's true. Maybe trail run more. Pass, right?
Yeah, because I mean, if it's, you're buying it for yourself, it's, hey, I paid $80 for this pass. I better get my money's worth. So I'm going to go out and trail run out at, you know, blah, blah,
wherever.
Blah park this weekend. So I think it could be a motivating factor in getting you out on the trails more. And it might get you to some different places.
That's true.
So maybe you normally go to, I go to that place by my house that's down the road and it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you got this pass,
but this
gets
pass
you,
includes these 10 other parks. Maybe I'm going to try them out because I have a pass for them.
Yeah. And it's free if I go there. So I might as
Exactly.
You know, try it out.
I've already paid for it, essentially. Yeah. So. And then this could apply to like state parks. It could apply to, you know, regions or even national parks, I guess. You can get a national park pass if it's somebody who's going to be traveling enough to either go to enough national parks or lives in an area where you have access to more than one national park. So
yeah I really like that idea.
Thanks. Yay. Yeah.
All right, number five is this one on me?
Yep.
Okay, so I put the most expensive thing on here because I apparently like to put crazy expensive things on this list, things that I certainly cannot afford. But what I'm putting on here is the Zero Runner from Octane Fitness. So if you haven't seen this thing, it's think of it as a cross between a treadmill and an elliptical, but allows quite a bit of range of motion. So they're touting it, and I kind of agree when you look at it. It's the closest thing you can get to the actual movement of running, yet in an elliptical slash treadmill device.
Yeah.
So I would just say, you know, go check out the video. If you've never seen it, it's over at octanefitness.com. It's a pretty cool machine. I would love to have one. They actually had a booth out at CIM, and I purposely did not stop at all and walked right by it, mainly because the price tag is kind of ridiculous. I think it starts at $3,200.
Were they letting people try it out, though?
I think so.
You didn't want to try it out? I didn't even see it.
No.
Oh.
Because there's no way it could end well by me trying it out. So either I was going to try it out and go, ah, this sucks and this is a disappointment.
Yeah.
Or
my dream is shattered.
Yeah, my dream is like, oh, this is not that good. Or, oh man, I love this thing, but this thing costs $3,200.
Right, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford this.
Yeah, I'm not spending, I'm sorry, I don't have $3,200 to spend on this Zero Runner. I would literally we'd literally have to stop the podcast and not do any races for 2 years. And then
Maybe we'll have enough to.
And then come back in 2 years and go, oh yeah, I've been on this Zero Runner for the last 2 years. But it's a pretty cool machine. I mean, it'd be cool if, you know, if your local gym had it or something like that. I think that even the higher up model, they have two models, is $4,299, which is just, I mean, considering you can get a decent treadmill, probably what, $600-$700, and a really nice treadmill for, you know, $1,000 or $1,200. This is 3 to 4 times, five times that.
Yeah.
But I definitely...
Does it come with a park pass?
No.
Running tights?
No. I think it measures your heart rate.
Okay, hey, that's
pretty,
Bluetooth, that's something.
I think, at least on the top version. To me, it looks like a good way that, you know, if you're having some issues and kind of the pounding of the pavement is kind of, you know, or you have some type of injury that that the biggest problem for you at the moment is the impact of running.
Yeah.
This is a good way to kind of recover, and I'm sure we'll see lots more people trying this out, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of elites on this thing over the next couple of years, assuming there's no issues with it and it does feel good. But it's funny, they were at CIM and I just looked
walking
over and go, like, that looks cool, but I'm not going to try it today. So so that was number five. We'll put a list in the show notes, I think, or actually we might even do a separate blog post with all these kind of ideas for you. Anything else in the gift department?
No, I think that was it.
Yeah. So, yeah, happy shopping. I am going to remind you one more time that one great way to support the podcast is if you happen to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com, use our affiliate link from our website. No extra cost to you. We get a little bit of credit for sending you over to Amazon. Mm-hmm. You pay the same. Kind of works out for everybody, and that kind of helps keep us going here. So, yeah. So other things, we want to mention kind of upcoming podcasts, because we're going to end 2015 and start 2016 kind of the same way we always do. Our last episode of 2015 will be a wrap-up show. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of look back at our years and kind of check in on how we did.
Our accomplishments, and then, you know, some comparison in terms of the goals that we set at the beginning of the year and how we fared.
Yeah, and talk about some of our, maybe our favorite races, favorite medals type of thing. You know,
we'll I got to start making my list.
We'll probably throw in a sad trombone award for maybe our least favorite race or something like that. Sad trombone.
Why does it have to be a trombone?
I don't know. So if you would like to share anything from your 2015, just shoot us an email.
Mm-hmm. We've actually already gotten a couple of emails about that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And we'll share our stuff and some of yours on the last episode of the year. And then for the start of 2016, we'll kick off the first episode, as always, with kind of setting our goals for the year and kind of what our plans are. We know some of our races that we're going for. We'll see if we figure anything else out before then. But if you have any goals or cool races that you're really looking forward to in 2016, and any of that that you would like to share, maybe you got some cool, unique goals. You know, maybe you're doing 2016 miles.
Right.
Maybe you're doing 20 marathon, 16 halves. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That would be a tough year.
20 marathon, 16. Yeah.
That'd be really tough. But yeah,
maybe you're doing 201. No, never mind. Yeah, no, that's not going
to
work.
So yeah, if you got any better ideas, but yeah, if you got any cool stuff that you're looking forward to in 2016 or plans, and you'd like to share that, we'd definitely love to hear about it. So shoot us those emails, and we'll, of course, be doing that on those two episodes.
Yeah, which it's coming up quick here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're going to wish some people some good luck.
Yeah. So we're going to wish Dave and Karen good luck at the Walnut Creek Half, which is this weekend, which we actually will be at.
Yes. So if we see you in person, we'll just tell you good luck before the race. But
if it's after, we'll just say good job.
Yeah, good job. Hopefully. All right. Let's get to some feedback.
Message received.
So we heard from Brian, who was letting us know that he enjoyed our last episode where we actually talked about Beat the Blurch, our experience at the half marathon there in Sacramento. So he actually ran the marathon at the Beat the Blurch, and he was confirming that it was a short course. He said his GPS read 24.8. So yeah, that's
a big difference.
Yeah. And he said the highest he saw from others was 25. So
big difference.
Yeah. Big difference.
But I was glad at least to get the confirmation from him, kind of what we heard from other people and read online. So.
And he gave us some brief thoughts on the marathon. He said, one, the turnaround for the marathon was misplaced, but it seems like they adjusted all the mile markers to mask that it was short. So that's something I hadn't thought that's about weird. At the time. So, and if you didn't wear a GPS, you might assume that you ran the full distance because the mile markers were all there. He said he could tell by halfway that he would likely be a mile short, and that caused him to kind of mentally shut down and just not care about holding pace, because makes sense if you know, like, oh, this course is short, I'm actually not running the full 26.2, it's like so he ended up running a 248, which is smoking fast. So he said if he had run the full distance, if it actually was a full course, would have likely put him in like 257 or 258 range,
which is still smoking fast.
So another thought was that a few of the aid stations he was actually totally ignored, which is not cool. Another thought was that the half marathoners, us, actually missed all the sheep. And at first I read that and I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, he did say sheep? Okay. Yeah, he did. So he said the out and back section had what seemed like thousands of sheep on both sides of the path with the makeshift fence separating them. He said they were not pleased with all the runners and they let the runners know about it. So
that actually would have been really cool. I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been a unique race situation.
Yeah. Another thought was that after the finish, there was no place to pick up age group awards. And since he's smoking fast, he said there was an announcement late in the day that awards would be mailed. He'll believe it when he sees it. And then last thought was that he didn't expect much from the race and wasn't as upset as others about the short course or lack of support, but he definitely was glad that he wasn't planning on it being a key race.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been definitely a disappointment had you been, had you really circled that on the calendar and you were going to go for a time or something like that,
because,
you know, obviously you're not going to be able to count that as a PR.
Exactly.
When the course is that short.
So. Yeah. Or like making it your first marathon and training. And then you're like, oh my God, I did all this training and I ran 25 miles. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyways, so moving on, we heard from Juan, who is now an Ironman Arizona finisher. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Letting us know about his race experience there. He included a picture of his medal from the race and then also of his pretty cool medal display that included medals from the year. So want to just give him congratulations on finishing the challenging race. He also shared his running accomplishments for the year, which we're not going to go into now because we're going to save that.
For the last episode.
Yeah, and expand on that a little bit later. And then he also gives us some tips for the LA Marathon since he's run it before. So we appreciate that. So if anybody ever has any tips on races we're going to do, please.
Let us know.
Let us know.
Right.
We always get people trying to get us to register for
races,
stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if anybody has any tips on like grandmas or LA, please let us know.
Well, we got a lot of time for grandmas, but yeah, LA's coming up soon.
I know, but I just want to put it out there so people can start thinking about it.
I mean, we did kind of get talked into grandmas, which I always say.
We sure did. It wasn't on our radar.
Doesn't take much to talk us into a race.
Well, you know, that's kind of what happened with St. George this year, too.
That's true.
It wasn't on our radar for this year at all, and then it happened. And it was a great race. So, again, circling back to CIM, here we go again, kind of full circle.
That's right.
So we heard from Dave, who ran CIM, but kind of leading up to CIM, he wasn't terribly optimistic about the weather. That's something that you talked about, that there was rain, it was cold. No, there's going to be rain. No, it's going to be cold. No, there's probably going to be rain. So at any given point, chances were that it was going to rain. So did we even talk about what the weather was actually like?
No.
Did he tell us? Yeah, he said conditions were nearly perfect because this was an update afterwards. The rain stopped around mile 4, so it was just cool and overcast the rest of the way. So,
ended
up being way better than what people were anticipating, I think. So,
yeah, I actually did see the start of CIM online.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the local news coverage actually had it online, and I think they covered the first 10 or 15 minutes of the race. And I think, as always with TV coverage of races, I just kind of cringe because it's always so awkward and weird.
Yeah,
but at least I got to see the start, and the, you know, it actually did look like nice conditions in terms of the temps, at least. So.
See, what you need to do is you need to watch it like with the mute button on, or just the volume turned down low. It'll still be awkward, but not quite as much because you won't hear the.
Boring though, too.
So, he did wear his Embrace Running podcast shirt at the race, and he got a PR.
So obviously,
come on, guys, you want a PR.
That's not a correlation. That has to be a causation.
Exactly.
So wear the running shirt.
Right. This is scientific proof.
That's right.
Right here. So he actually said he's thinking he's going to have to wear his shirt for all of his races from now on. Yeah, so hopefully he doesn't have back-to-back races. And he did say the CIM course was a much hillier than he thought. He was expecting some rolling hills, but there were way more than he expected. We mentioned he's going to be at Walnut Creek, hoping he'll see us there. And then want to give him a shout-out because he did find me at the Ragnar Trail booth at CIM. Yeah, and actually mentioning that too, Ryan from Southern California.
Saw you too.
Saw me there too, and I met a bunch of his friends. So,
and I was jokingly, I missed everybody because I always miss everybody.
He always misses everybody. Yeah,
I have really bad timing.
It's a conspiracy. I tell him not to find you
apparently,
on purpose. Yeah,
I think so.
So, continuing with CIM, we heard from Margot, who did the relay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we mentioned before that CIM has a relay. So, unfortunately, she was having some issues with sciatica and wasn't able to finish her portion of the relay. But she felt better after some Advil.
Mm-hmm.
Advil will do that to you.
Yeah.
And then she met up with her relay partner the last few miles of her leg, so was able to run that in with her. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. We heard from Emmanuel, who was hoping we had a great Thanksgiving. He was listening to our last podcast as he ran his 5-mile turkey trot. There you go. And then this past Sunday, he ran the Hanukkah Gelt 5K and set a PR of 21:26, which is good for third overall in his age group, which came with a $25 reward. So he wants to know if that makes him a professional runner. Your thoughts?
I don't know.
Prize money.
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, pros literally run for prize money.
Exactly.
So it's I think we're going to add you to the list.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
So he took our advice. We actually,
not to mention one of our richest professional runners in this.
Yeah. $25. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. He also took our advice and bought some new sneakers, a pair of Nike Flex Fury and Hoka's, the Huacas, which he ran his 5K in. So cool. We actually talked about his sneakers that he had worn. I can't even remember for how many miles. Yeah. So he's bought some new ones now. So hopefully he's feeling a difference.
Right.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's going to wrap it up for today. Like we said, we're racing this coming weekend. So we'll be at the Walnut Creek Half Marathon. Should be an interesting one. That actually wraps up the California Half Series, so I know there'll be lots of people there collecting their medals.
Right.
If they ran all over yeah. NorCal doing that, so they'll get their medals there. So looking forward to that one. I don't think either one of us are running that for time or anything like that. So just going out there, have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the weather is nice.
I think as of now, it's going to be cool, cold, but not, I don't think there's supposed to be any rain as of now, but yeah. We'll see.
I was going to say, as always, I just didn't look at the weather at all, so I have no idea what's going on.
You'll look that morning, I guess.
Yeah, so we'll have a slight recap of that one next week. Anything else before we get out of here?
Nope, that's it.
All right.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.